This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Indiana Republican Congressman Marlon Stutzman. He represents the Hoosier State's 3rd Congressional District, and even as a freshman here in Congress, he's a key member of the House Budget Committee. We want to get his reaction to the Ryan Plan, which cleared the House late last week, and now, of course, will help to set the stage for a major showdown between the two parties over the fiscal course of this nation. And, Congressman, it's great to have you with us.
Greg, thanks for having me on.
Tell us why you believe that the Ryan plan is the best way to go here. Obviously, you prefer it to the president's plan, but in terms of putting this deal together, why it turned out exactly the way it did?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important that we realize what the situation is that we're in, as the federal government is facing $14 trillion worth of debt. We just closed the budget on a $1.5 trillion deficit. That means that we spent $3.5 trillion last year, and we only took in $2 trillion in tax revenue. And we continue to spend money that we just don't have. We're borrowing 40 cents for every dollar that we spend. And we just had there was an announcement today that the S&P downgraded our fiscal outlook from stable to negative. And that I believe we need to take action now, and we can make changes now with our entitlement spending. We need to make changes with our discretionary and non-discretionary spending, so that way we can pass on a better future to our kids and grandkids. And if we do it now, we can make those adjustments to start hopefully saving the future of our fiscal situation that we're in right now.
Congressman, as this debate played out inside your own party, inside the committee, is this pretty much the idea that most Republicans instinctively rallied around? Were there any great debates about differences of opinion on whether it's entitlements or tax rates for corporations or for Americans of different income brackets? Was this generally a pretty smooth process among Republicans, or were you fighting for certain things that maybe you didn't quite get exactly what you wanted?
You know, I was surprised, Greg, how much support there was from the very beginning. As Paul Ryan laid out the plan to the conference, and as we worked through it in the budget committee, there was broad support. I believe there was only 4 Republicans that voted against the budget. And so I think that, especially the freshman class, I believe that as we were going through the process of last year's budget, you know, people said to shut the government down, and we heard that a lot. And, you know, there was a case to be made for that. But I, you know, as I told people back home, that, you know, I don't believe people sent me to Washington to shut it down. People sent me to Washington to fix it. And I think that's what the Ryan plan does. It fundamentally changes the way that we do business in Washington. As you mentioned, the tax code. We have a mess of a tax code. We have over $1 trillion in what are called tax expenditures, whether they're credits or loopholes or incentives to business or individuals, deductions, things of that nature that are creating an imbalance. They create an unlevel playing field in our tax code. We have an enormous amount of spending on our entitlements, which continues to drive our debt and deficits higher and higher. Medicare costs continue to grow, and with the income of the baby boomer generation into the entitlements, that's only going to continue to grow. So as Paul Ryan, who was just fantastic to work with, as we worked together and put a plan together, said we need to address tax policy. We believe that we need to eliminate tax loopholes. I mean, it's not right that GE is making billions of dollars but isn't paying any taxes. That's not right. But it's also not right for us to continue to let health care costs continue to rise and Medicare and Medicaid costs go up and expect that our kids and grandkids to have to pay for it.
Congressman, the reality, of course, politically is that there's a Democrat in the White House. The Democrats control the Senate, and the president has made it a pretty high priority in the last few days to try and drive down support for the plan, from his speech last week to his video address to the nation over YouTube on Saturday. Now he's hitting the trail to mainly campaign against the Ryan plan, although he is officially promoting his own plan. As you look at the president's tactics and what he advocated last week, do you sense much room for common ground here?
Well, you know, this is really an opportunity for somebody to lead, and the president has not done so. In fact, his budget plan actually doubled our debt over the next 10 years. It's full of taxes and more spending. And I'm just fully convinced that the American people are starting to really grasp where we're at financially. Our debt is almost equal to our gross domestic product. Our GDP is about $14.4 trillion, and our debt is approaching $14.4 trillion. It's actually going to be capped out here in a couple of months around $14.2 trillion. And people realize that you cannot spend money that you don't have. And so that's why I think there's so much criticism of Paul Ryan's budget, is that Paul is coming out and is a great spokesman for this budget, and it is leading on the issues and showing the American people the situation that we're in. And I believe as they understand the situation, they're going to follow along and say, this is what we have to do. Every generation has a responsibility to the next generation, and our responsibility now is to get our fiscal house in order. And this is a catastrophic event that we can see coming. We know that it's coming. And if we don't do anything about it, shame on us. And I believe that the president needs to realize that the American people do not, they expect action, they expect results, and they don't want to see more of the same. And I believe he's leading us down the path of more of the same.
Some folks out there, Congressman, say the Paul Ryan plan is the conservative standard right now. The president laid out more of a liberal marker, and perhaps there's room somewhere in the middle. Do Republicans see this as a starting point or pretty much where you want to see the final budget numbers look at the end of this debate?
Well, we'd love to see it, end up where we're at and what we pass. But obviously we know that there has to be common ground. And if the president is willing to come to the table and realize the seriousness of the situation and admit that we have a spending problem and that this is not, there's too many times right now I hear in Washington from liberal Democrats that taxes is the answer to the problem, but come to the table and realize that it's not a tax problem that we have in Washington, it's a spending problem that we have in Washington, and until we're ready to step up to the plate and to face the problems that we have with legitimate solutions, I think that you'll find more than a willingness from us conservatives to address the problems. I mean, we're seeing the Gang of Six working on issues over in the Senate. I think that there's a willingness in the House between Republicans and Democrats who want to see a solution found. But if we can constantly play politics that the president is so prone to doing, as well as Nancy Pelosi, we're going to have a real problem. So I think that you'll find people that want to come to the table and find solutions, but we have to stop playing politics with the items like Social Security and Medicare.
The president says he doesn't want to see anything like the Ryan plan on Medicare. He wants tax hikes for wealthier Americans, and he wants deep cuts in defense spending. Which, if any of those, are you personally, or do you think the Republicans are willing to move even a little bit in his direction?
You know, that is just a non-starter for me because, for one, we're facing terrorism around the world, and our military men and women are doing their dead-level best to keep this country safe, and we owe them a great debt of gratitude. Is there spending within the military and the DOD that we could cut out? Absolutely, and I think that needs to be addressed. But raising taxes, dividing this country over tax policy, I think is the wrong outlook. You don't go to the American people and say, okay, we're going to tax this group of people, but we're not going to tax this group of people. We're all in this together. This is not a Republican problem or a Democrat problem. This is an American problem. And if we don't come to the table together and say, how can we find a tax policy that is fair, that is equitable, that is across the board good for all Americans, that's the type of policy that we need. And third, again, taxes are not the solution. Cutting the military is not the solution. We're going to have to address the spending problems that we have before we just jump into what they constantly perceive to be the answer to the problems, and that's more taxes and cuts to DOD. We'll find common ground on Social Security. We can find common ground in healthcare and Medicare, but we got to stop scaring people and saying that we're changing, Medicare as we know it. If we want the program to be around for kids and grandkids, we have to change it now And if we do so, we can ride the wave in the bubble of the baby boomers and get this plan back to get these programs back to solvency where they're going to be around for future generations.
Last question before we let you run, Congressman. A lot of people see a precursor to the larger 2012 budget debate in this upcoming debt ceiling vote. Are you at all inclined to vote for raising the debt ceiling? And if so, what type of concessions on spending would you demand?
I am not inclined to vote for a debt ceiling that is a standalone bill. If we're going to, if the president or Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi thinks that we're going to raise the debt ceiling without any sort of fundamental changes to the way Washington budgets, to the way Washington spends money, I think they're going to have a very difficult time. Speaker Boehner has already made mention of that on his talk on the floor last week when he was talking about the Ryan budget. This is an opportunity for us to fundamentally change the way Washington budgeting works, because the debt ceiling is a very important threshold for our economy, for our standing throughout the world. You know, we're paying for sins of the past with this situation and the debt ceiling increase. And I think this is an opportunity for us to get several things. One, we need a balanced budget amendment that requires the federal government to have a balanced budget. And I believe in the long run that will get us back to responsible budgeting. Two, I think we need spending caps, whether it's spending the federal government to 99% of projected revenues and then adjust accordingly to rate of inflation. I think we need spending caps. I think third, we also need to force a Medicaid solution, which would save us $1 trillion over 10 years if we let the states administer Medicaid. And I believe that you know, we need to have a strong position on several different fronts, and tell the president that there is absolutely no way we're going to raise the debt ceiling just to allow government to spend more. We have great leverage right now, and I believe that you know, the conservative movement or the conservative voice in Washington should be to use that leverage to fundamentally change the way Washington works.
Congressman, some very big debates coming up. We'll be sure to check back in with you as they develop. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Indiana Republican Congressman Marlon Stutzman represents his state's 3rd Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.